Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Hey everybody, welcome to How To Tuesday. Today we're going to talk about kids fishing. That's one of my favorite topics because I have three children of my own and fishing has been such a great activity to do with them. Now we've been able to do the different kinds of fishing from freshwater to saltwater to being on a boat to being on land, and there's a different kind of strategies and techniques to taking kids fishing and doing it in each of those areas. Today we have my friend Mike Larkin. He is also very experienced at taking kids fishing, his own children fishing, at specifically seawalls. And seawalls are something that is very, very, very available in the state of Florida and many other states, but there are lots of places that you can go to do this. And there's some surprisingly good fishing available at seawall. So Mike, what can you tell us about seawall fishing and your experience with your own children?
Yeah, I just found that, you know, unfortunately I know of a boat right now, and you know, you hear people talk about, you know, hire a guide and all that, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. If you could do that. But you know, that's, you know, especially if people come down to Florida as vacation, you're already spending on a hotel, rental car, you know, food. And then you got to convince your wife, can we spend, you know, $500, $600, $700 right. a day? They go, you know, like that's not. And also I kind of grew up in a world where I didn't even know what charter fishing was. In fact, I'll tell you a quick story. When I went down to the Keys as a kid, my parents stayed at a friend's place and they slept on the couch and my brother and I slept on the floor and we fished on a seawall in Big Pine for a week. And it was one of the best vacations I ever had.
Yeah.
But we never even went on the water. You know, we were on a seawall the whole time.
Yeah.
But being in Big Pine Key down there. So anyway, it's just a different. Of course, you know, if you could hire a guide, but, you know, and I think, you know, I'm saying if you're coming down to vacation in Florida or if you just live in Florida, I think we're really blessed that these seawalls and there's docks too, but docks you got to check. I always check with the marina people at docks because some people just don't want you fishing by their boat. Right. You could get around the prop or whatever, which is fine. So I focus more on the seawalls, keep my kids away from the docks. And so I guess to start with, I have two children and I first took my kids fishing when they were three, which was really more for me than for them. So three was too young, I found. So I found at 5 years old, you can kind of start. And I feel like I had this whole like process, like get them in the car, put on sunscreen, get them stuffed and get dirty, get them in the car. The first stop is to the grocery store. Because okay, what snacks do you want? You know, right. that's huge for them because I'm big on not giving my kids snacks or I limit their diet very much. But when we go fishing, it's a whole different world to them. So the first store, we pick out their snacks and then we go to the bait store. And I always buy frozen shrimp. A friend of mine used to bring squid, but I found out with squid, especially I use these small hooks, like a size 8, size 6. The squid acts like a bite guard. Mm. Like you can see the fish hit it, but it's like the hook's so small. So anyway, we go to the bait store. We get frozen shrimp. I will buy a dozen shrimp just for entertainment purposes. And I don't do this anymore, but when my kids were really young, I'd go the extra step. I would get the dozen shrimp, put them in the bucket, put a live well. I would break off that little, you know, the rostrum, the point there, and then the point on the tail on every single shrimp. That way they're not getting poked if they go to grab it. Because, you know, at that age of 5, they're more interested probably at the live well. Now you've talked about in your shows, you know, they're more interested in the live well. That way they're looking at that. And then when a fish bites, you know, you're good to go. But I guess, yeah, if you can find a seawall, and there's all these different public parks and all that around Florida. And I recommend using, I just use like a size 6 to size 10 small hook. If you even get a circle hook, if you want, and a split shot. And the first thing I do when I go there is I'll throw a whole bunch of shrimp in the water, break them up just to kind of get the party going. I call it, you know, chumming. And then, you know, just throw it in. I didn't have my kids cast. I just find a seawall where it's deep enough. have them drop it straight down, because casting is another element. You could get hooked or whatever. And they could use the push button ones. I've kind of got away from that. In fact, the first time I took my son, he was using a push button catching pinfish, and his snook came up and grabbed it. And I didn't know where the snook even came from, but there's no drag in that thing. So it's like, ding, 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 ding. It just took all the line and broke off. And all right, buddy, let's get in the car. I felt bad because it's 30 feet of line on the snook. And I felt like I brought a knife to a gunfight, right? Yes. We weren't really prepared. So anyway, I recommend, I have my kids. And in fact, that's another whole element. Like, my kids have their own fishing rods. Like, I have my own tarpon rods, my own bonefish rods. And my son is 13. He's never even touched them. Like, I know when he gets older, I will. But like, they have their own fishing rods, their own rod, their own reel. And I know people don't want to spend the money on that. But, you know, in Florida, and maybe other states, there are organizations, if you contact them, they will give you a free fishing rod. And most of them will give you a free tackle for kids. Like, we have Old Salt Foundation in the Tampa area. Fish Florida has a big, great website. They give you a nice spinning rod, and they give you a tackle box with it, which has hooks and sinkers and lures. And Angler Armory is another one in Florida that gives out free fishing rods. Florida Fish and Wildlife has fishing clinics where they give out free fishing rods. So I'm a huge fan of giving them their own rod, because they're going to drop it. They're going to knock it in the water. They're going to bang it up. Don't let them touch your own stuff. And I just think we're blessed to have fish like pinfish, which are pretty much, I feel like, everywhere. We catch them on the beach. We catch them on the seawalls. We catch them on the seagrass. So if you're coming down to Florida, or if you just want to take your kids out fishing on a seawall, you know, I feel like you're going to find pinfish. And by using those small little hooks, you know, they're going to eat that shrimp, and it, you know, it gives you action. Mm-hmm. You know, I heard once, I think I can't take credit for this. I heard it was Wee Wolf, but he talked about the three stages of fishing. Like, the first stage is you want to catch as many fish as possible. Mm-hmm. The second stage, you want to catch the biggest fish as possible. And the third stage, you want to catch specific species of fish. I think from my interaction with a lot of parents, when I take other people fishing, I think they forget that, like, the dad may be in level two. He wants to catch the biggest fish possible. Or level three, he wants to catch a snook. But I think people forget that your child is at level one. They just want to catch a fish. Right. And they want to catch as many as possible. So I think people forget that. You think about they're at a different level than the kid. And I don't even fish when I go with my kids. I'm just there like, okay, it's their time, you know? And you know, it actually, maybe I'm weird, but there's been times where I've seen my kids catch. I actually prefer to catch them catch a fish more than me, especially if it's like something special, like a snook or a bonefish or a red drum or something like that. Like, I enjoyed more watching them do it. I mean, I do enjoy watching them catch pinfish, and or they get, you know, things that could always happen in saltwater, and get a, you know, a nice sheep's head, or my daughter caught a big black drum, came out of nowhere, you know. So I guess the main thing is, you know, I like to go through the steps. I like to, you know, bring snacks, you know, keep the duration short. I shoot for an hour, sometimes less, sometimes more, depends on the fishing, you know. And also, when I look for seawall, a lot of seawall parks, they have bathrooms, they have water fountains. Mm-hmm. So that's a huge thing too, right? Because my daughter seems to, you know, when she tells me she doesn't get a bathroom, I got about 30 seconds to get her in the bathroom or bad things can happen. So usually, you know, you got to find one. So if there's one there, I can be, okay, right there's a bathroom. But, you know, I think I'm a big fan of, you know, keep it short, bring it snacks. It's their day, not your day. You know, you have given their own rod and reel. You can get them free from many organizations in Florida and probably other states. You know, use small hooks, split shot, just have them drop it down. Don't worry about casting. That can come later. Just drop it down and just keep it going. You know, they'll catch pinfish, probably catch some snappers, some grunts. You know, just keep the action going. And then when it slows down and you're done, or, you know, when they want to go, it's time to go. You know, don't push them into it. And like, I remember my son was 7 and he wanted to catch a mahi-mahi. I'm thinking, I will never take you mahi-mahi fishing until you're a teenager. Because I don't know about you, I've been out mahi-mahi fishing. It's been great. But 99% of my mahi-mahi fishing, I'm just sitting there looking at the water.
Right.
You know, it's slow. Like, I would never take a 7-year-old mahi-mahi fishing. I did take my son bone fishing briefly, but, you know, we fish for bonnetheads. We fish for owlfish. You know, we're not there just for bonefish. You know, you got to keep it. If we just went for bonefish, like, don't cast. Wait till you see the bonefish. You know, he would hate that. Yes. You know, so anyway, good mahi-mahi fishing where you're trolling, you're waiting. I think that would kill the sport for him more than develop the sport for him.
Yeah.
It goes back to that, you know, that level one. You know, keep them catching.
You know,
even if it's a pinfish this big.
That is such good advice, and so mirrors my experience. Is that if you're trying to develop a fisherman, you really, exactly what you said, you really have to go back. And sometimes for a lot of people, it's really hard to go back to when you were a kid. When you were a kid, you didn't care anything about a tarpon. You didn't even want to catch a tarpon. It'd take all your line. You don't have a rod that's capable of doing it. Like that snook, like your son is probably kind of a scared of snook. Like no, that thing take all my line and we're done. And so many people get carried away with what they want to do. And it's like, they might see a snook over here and it's like, hey, let's not catch these fish anymore and go over here. Well, now that you're going over there and then you're like, let me see the rod and I'll cast it for you. Well, you're ruined this experience for this kid who was catching one pinfish after another, one snapper after another, having the greatest time. And the other thing that I think that was so spot on with your advice was when they are done, it's over. No matter what, if you get out there and you've just gotten them chummed up, they've caught four fish and you can see they're all coming in and you're like, man, if we stay here, we're going to catch 200 pinfish. And your kid says, you know what? I'm ready to go. Maybe you can get them to stay for a few more minutes, maybe, but I always kind of respected that. And I always also liked to leave, just like it's good to leave the fish biting. I always wanted to leave some in the tank for the kid, like leave when they still are enjoying it. Leave when they haven't caught quite enough. Leave before it has become a chore.
Leave
before they get bored, leave. So that when you've just primed it. So the next time you say you want to go fishing, they're all about it. If you sat them out there for 3 hours and took a nap next to you fishing, they're not all about it. So I don't know. That's spot on advice. And I really, really like what you said. Now let's talk about, you know, just the seawalls in particular for somebody that, you know, maybe you've got single parents that their kids watching, you know, Black Tip H on TV and he comes back, I mean, on YouTube and comes back and says, Mom, I want to go fishing. And she's like, well, I don't have any idea where to go. How would you suggest that someone find particular seawalls where at first it's legal to fish and you're okay to fish there. In your opinion, like how would you find that? You mentioned parks and other places, but do you know of any resources for people that aren't real familiar with seawall fishing where they could find places that would be open to fishing?
Now, good question. I think look for public parks. They seem to always have on the water or even boat ramps usually have an area too where you can fish as well. So I think public parks, public areas, and just search around and Google Maps. And I always try to, you know, if it's a new place, I try to look around, make sure there's no fishing signs or look around first. But they're great resources, those public parks or boat ramps. Usually they have a bathroom, right? They have so that's covered, right?
Yeah.
And they usually somehow have some shade area in case you get hit by the rain or the kids need a break or you want to have a break for lunch. And they've seawalls there. And another thing I would point out, when I always look for structure too, right? So if you're looking there, look for you don't want your kids to get, I think circle hooks are a big advantage because you're less likely to hook in those rocks, but look for, you don't want to be fishing just in complete sand, you know, look for some rocky areas or some areas. But to get back to your question, yeah, I think public parks are and even Google Earth or but a lot of even if some of these hotels have seawalls too, you know, depends on where you're staying. But I think if all around Florida, there's got to be some area there where you can fish for your kids. And I would think, and even, you know, and everyone's usually real. I mean, you're showing up with kids, right? You're not showing up with like, you know, heavy tackle and all that. So I think people are always really, really friendly.
Yeah.
And all that. So
if I could offer any other advice based upon my own experience is that when you are fishing with kids, everyone there, you and your kids should be wearing sunglasses. Because
oh, yeah.
kids And this is more for protection of the eye than it is for seeing into the water. Like, we use sunglasses more to see into the water as you become a more experienced fisherman. But you're usually using a rod that's a little bit shorter. It's a kid's rod, and that is almost exactly eye level at your eye. And the kid is so interested in the fish, and they just point the rod somewhere else to look at this fish, usually right in your face. So I've gotten hit in the face with a rod tip lots and lots and lots of times. And I just made it an absolute rule that if we were going to have a fishing rod in our hands, we were going to be wearing sunglasses. And the kids just, you know, first of all, you're developing a habit that when you fish, you wear sunglasses, and that's a good thing. But I can't tell you how many times each of us have been hit in the eye with something, not, or in the eye area. And even when my kids were really small, I had sunglasses for them. Sunglasses are cheap, and they're one of the best protective measures that you can have for your kids. Definitely invest the $2 or $3 that it costs to get a pair of kids' sunglasses. Make sure that they're wearing them. And that's the other thing, is make sure that those glasses are comfortable for them and of the right size for a kid. Like, if you give them some big, heavy adult sunglasses, it's better than nothing, but they're not comfortable. And that's the thing with, you know, the same thing with life jackets and things. If you're uncomfortable with your kid standing on a seawall and you want them to wear a life jacket, well, make sure that that life jacket fits them and that they're comfortable. I mean, as you're trying to make this whole experience as comfortable as possible so that they want to do it again. That's the goal. And if we just keep that goal in mind, that what we're trying to do is get them to come back and do this over and over again and have this be the best part of our whole week when we go fishing. Well, being comfortable and being safe, those are two things. So
yeah, that's a great point. In fact, I actually, with my kids, I think it was like REI or something like it, but I got polarized glasses for my kids from, I think, REI.com for 12, I think they're $12 each.
Yeah.
But another part of it, yeah, safety is huge. I give them a hat, I give them sunglasses. It's not only for fishing. Like, they wear those glasses when they're out biking around neighborhood or whatever. I try to get them to wear, you know, for protect eyes. But another thing with that polarized glasses is I'm glad they have them, because I'll be like, look, there's a sheep's head. And without polarized glasses, I'll be like, where? Like,
yeah, they
it's right
it.
There. Yeah, they're seeing what I'm seeing with polarized glasses.
It's like a whole other element of this whole experience
that makes
it just a little more fun. And you don't have to catch that fish. Sometimes they don't even want to pick up a rod. They just want to look. And if and that's fine. You know, that's the other thing too, is like, I've talked about it many times with the live well, about, you know, you take the kids out there and all they want to do is play in the live well. And some people get frustrated with that. Like, oh man, we spent all this money on gas and we're out here and we're doing all this and all they want to do is play in the live well. Well, look, man, at least they want to be there with you. Like,
they'll get to the fishing
eventually.
Yeah.
Let them play in the live well. Like, if like you're bringing those 12 shrimp, so that your kids can look at those and play with those. And if all they want to do is play in that bucket, great. Next trip, they'll probably want to fish. Or maybe not even that trip. Maybe it's 5 more trips that they want to fish. But they love going to play in that bucket. And they love playing with those shrimp. And you know what? That's the first step. And that might be level 0.3, right? They're not even to level 1. They're like working their way to level 1 to where they actually do want to catch a fish. And then they want to catch a lot of fish. And then they want to catch a big fish and then a certain kind of fish. Like, I like that too. And I've heard that many times. But man, awesome advice, Mike. I really appreciate that. And there are so many people that that need it, because fishing is an outstanding activity to be doing with your children and or grandchildren or your friends' kids or whatever. It's something that you can get kids outdoors. You can get them away from the video games. You can have time with just you. You're getting vitamin D. You're getting exercise. You're doing so many good things. You're teaching them about the natural world. And that is really needed these days. Really, really needed. So,
and it exposes them to nature. Like, I was gonna say real quick, like, when we catch a puffer fish, they go nuts.
Yeah,
over a puffer. Like, I always thought a puffer was like a trash fish, but with my kids, that's the gold mine. Like, it puffs up.
Yeah,
puffer, or a trunk fish or a flounder. Like, they just stare at it for like in the live well, and they want to take pictures of it. Yeah. They want to hold it. So anyway,
if you had caught a 4-pound snook, they would be like, you know, it's got two colors on it. It's white and black, and You know, Dad seemed to like it, but how do we catch you on another one that turns into a basketball? Like,
I
used to take my kids fishing a lot, and we would have an award at the end of the day for the weirdest fish. And, you know, we would, it can be anything. You can have one of the kids draw a picture, and that's going to be the award for the weirdest fish. And then we would put that on the refrigerator all week. You know, like, Hayden caught the weirdest fish this week. And it's like, yeah, I caught a puffer fish. It's so cool. But, you know, it doesn't take much. And all these seawalls are loaded with fish like this, tropical fish, cow fish, you know, puffer fish, things like that, that other people, you know, just disregard as trash fish. A kid thinks that that is the greatest thing ever. So, yeah, don't disregard anything. Like, if you caught a shark that was 12 inches long. Oh my God. That would be the greatest thing of all time. So
we caught a bonehead. I think they thought it was a great white when they caught a bonehead. Like, oh my God, you know, they were so excited and telling all their friends. I'm like, you caught a bonefish and you're bragging about catching a bonnet. You know, they have different perspective of their friends.
Totally
their friends
different perspective. When I was a kid, I caught a bonnet shark, and that was back when you killed everything. But I took the bonnet shark home, put it in the freezer, and I took it to school every year for about 6 or 8 years after that. I mean, almost my entire elementary career, I took for show and tell. We used to have show and tell, and you would bring something from home, and I brought this frozen bonnet shark that once a year would be defrosted and it would get pretty rank. But that was a thing, man. This is my shark I caught. And I was so excited about that. It could be a picture these days. You could let the thing go and not have to freeze it, and you could take a picture. But all great advice.
I'm gonna do that. We're gonna start freezing them. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I'm gonna do that.
Yeah. Yeah. All good advice. So take that advice, and it would just make my day, and I'm sure it would make Mike's day too, if you took that advice and you took your kids fishing and they turned into your best fishing buddy. So that's How To Tuesday for today. I hope that happens for you, because it has been incredibly rewarding for Mike and I hope it will be for you as well. All right, that's it. See you.